Radio Prague News.
Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka is prepared to back the construction of a fifth reactor at the Dukovany nuclear power plant in southern Moravia. The finance ministry is aiming for a state budget with a 100 billion crown deficit in 2015. And President Miloš Zeman has sent a letter of congratulations to the newly elected Slovak President Andrej Kiska. Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka has said he would be prepared to back the construction of a fifth reactor at the Dukovany nuclear power plant in southern Moravia. On a visit to Třebíč on Monday, the Prime Minister said he would bring the matter up within the ongoing debate on the government's long-term energy strategy. Dukovany has a license to operate its four nuclear reactors until 2015 and plans to ask for an extension until 2025 and eventually 2035. A newly built reactor could produce energy for another 60 years. Meanwhile, the expansion of the Temelin nuclear power plant in South Bohemia from the present two to four nuclear reactors looks increasingly uncertain. The finance ministry is aiming for a 2015 state budget with a 100 billion crown deficit. That is a gap below 3% of the GDP, according to ministry sources. The proposed draft budget will be put to the three coalition parties of the centre-left government on April 9th. Finance Minister Andrej Babiš has refused to reveal further details until the proposal has been debated in cabinet. The ministry wants to improve the state of public finances by an overhaul in public spending and cracking down on tax evaders. The finance minister has also indicated he wants to invest or use profits from state-owned firms such as the power giant CEZ. President Miloš Zeman has sent a letter of congratulations to the newly elected Slovak President Andrej Kiska and extended an invitation for him to visit the Czech Republic. In the letter, Mr. Zeman said he looked forward to future cooperation and hoped that he and Mr. Kiska could further deepen the two neighbouring states' above-standard relations. The Czech Republic and Slovakia spent 73 years in a common state, and the newly elected Slovak head of state has already confirmed that, in line with tradition, his first trip abroad would be to the Czech Republic. The blast at the Palestinian embassy that killed Ambassador Jamal al-Jamal on January 1st of this year was not caused by a built-in security device, as previously thought, according to the results of an ongoing police investigation. According to police spokeswoman Andrea Zolova, a test carried out within the investigation shows that the explosion did not occur inside the safe. The internet news site IDNE says there is reason to believe that the ambassador was holding the explosive in his hands when the blast occurred. Police ruled out foul play early on and are now investigating the incident as death caused by negligence. Following the closure of the Rožná uranium mine northwest of Brno, the state-owned uranium mining company Diamo wants to open a new uranium mine near Brzkov in the Jihlava region. Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka expressed preliminary support for the idea on Monday, saying the cabinet would debate the matter and make a decision within the next few months. Villages located in the vicinity of the potential mining site have previously protested against the idea. If the project were to go ahead, preparation work would take up 6 to 7 years, after which the site would be mined for another 16 years, providing jobs for several hundred people. And finally, a quick look at the weather forecast. The coming days should be sunny to partly cloudy, with day temperatures around 15 degrees Celsius. I'm Daniela Lazarová, and that's the end of the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. My name is Jan Richter. Coming up in today's program, what do Czech officials have to say about the result of Slovakia's presidential race? Then we'll have the latest news from the world of Czech sports. And later, we meet Tomáš Hrubý, a young film producer who recently picked up a Czech Lion Award for Burning Bush. He says Prague's FAMU film school needs to move with the times.
Basically, television at FAMU has been considered something of a lesser media and of a lesser work. And I think this needs to change.
All that coming your way, so please stay with us. The neighbouring Slovakia at the weekend elected a new president, political newcomer Andrej Kiska, who defeated Slovak Prime Minister Robert Fico by 20% of the vote. Czech politicians, including Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka, congratulated Mr. Kiska, saying they looked forward to meeting with the new head of state. As tradition dictates, Kiska's first official foreign visit will be to Prague. Jan Wallinger has the details.
2 years ago, Slovak businessman and philanthropist Andrej Kiska was politically unknown. Now he will be Slovakia's next head of state. Mr. Kiska will succeed outgoing President Ivan Gašparovič on June 15th, this after soundly defeating Robert Fico in the election runoff. On promises he would serve as a counterweight to Slovakia's one-party cabinet, that he would return trust to the office of the president, and that he would act as a voice of the people. In the Czech Republic, the result is being seen as noteworthy, including by Petr Fiala, the head of the opposition, Civic Democrats.
I think that the election showed that voters wanted to elect a counterweight to Prime Minister Robert Fico, who was dominant on the Slovak political scene.
Czech politician Tomio Okamura of the upstart Dawn Party called it an example of how direct elections worked, in which an underdog could topple a dominant politician. While Czech Prime Minister Bohuslav Sobotka said the result confirmed the strength of Slovak democracy. Czech President Miloš Zeman, who supported the second place Mr. Fico against the newcomer, issued a statement through his spokesman, saying that he respected the results and would be sending congratulations shortly. Others, such as former Czech Foreign Minister Karel Schwarzenberg, suggested the election outcome in Slovakia showed that voters there wanted something different from the status quo.
People really are fed up with politics and politicians at this time.
It is not expected that the Slovak president-elect will take any steps which would change course in Czech-Slovak relations, fostered both by Mr. Fico and Mr. Gašparovič until now, broadly recognized as excellent. Indeed, if anything, Mr. Kiska will strive early to reinforce strong ties, and he already confirmed that his first official visit abroad will be to the Czech Republic, as dictated by a tradition formed over the last 20 years. Mr. Kiska told public broadcaster Czech TV he was looking forward to meeting with his Czech counterpart. He shrugged off the suggestion Mr. Zeman's support for his rival Robert Fico, a natural political ally, could present a problem. He replied, "Definitely not," and said he was looking forward to Prague.
Thank you, Jan Wallinger, for that. But now, Ian Willoughby has the latest news from the world of Czech sports.
We begin today with soccer and the news that Vladimír Šmicer is returning to Slavia Prague, the club where he started and ended a successful playing career. Šmicer, whose last job was as general manager to the Czech national team, goes back to Slavia as assistant to the club's Dutch manager, Alex Pastoor. Šmicer won the league three times with Slavia as a player, most recently in 2009. However, since then, the club has fallen off the pace, finishing seventh last season and currently languishing fourth from bottom. Šmicer says one of his main tasks will be to help improve the mentality of the current Slavia squad.
The players have to enjoy football. They have to have an appetite for it, whether they're playing a weak team or a strong one. It's not work, it's a game, and if they don't enjoy it, performances will reflect that. We want to get back to such basic things and starting there, soon head back to the top.
Slavia's old rivals Sparta lead the league by 8 points. They made light work of Znojmo in the capital at the weekend, winning 3-0. For their part, second-placed Victoria Pilsen walloped Liberec 6-0. At the other end of the table, Baník Ostrava remain rooted to bottom spot after a nil-all away draw at fellow strugglers Bohemians 1905, who are only ahead of them on goal difference. Ostrava boss František Komnětský was philosophical about the result.
We wanted to win and to be successful because we knew it was one of the key games of the second half of the season. But given that we weren't capable of scoring one goal in the whole game, we have to accept the draw. Bohemians were dangerous, but the result shows that neither team currently has sufficient strength or quality up front.
Tennis and the Jack Davis Cup team to face Japan next weekend will unusually feature only three players. Lukasz Rosol, Radek Szczepanek and Jiří Veselý have arrived in Tokyo without Jan Hajek, who's had to pull out due to a knee injury. Tomáš Berdych helped the Czechs win the Davis Cup title last year and the year before, but he's decided to focus on his own career for now. Berdych has just returned to fifth in the world rankings after reaching the semi-finals of the Miami Masters, where he withdrew in a match against Rafael Nadal due to a tummy bug. Finally, ice hockey and retired Czech goaltender Dominik Hašek has just been inducted into the Hall of Fame of former club Buffalo Sabres. The Dominator was with the Sabres from 1992 to 2001, a period when he dominated the NHL. Hašek earned six Vezina trophies in a 16-season career in the league, was also a six-time NHL All-Star, and twice received the Hart Trophy. That's all the sport for today.
Thank you, Ian Willoughby. Coming up next, it's not unusual for actors to pick up top movie prizes while still in their 20s. In the field of film production, it is a rather different story. An exception is Tomáš Hrubý, one of the people behind the multi-award-winning Burning Bush, who is only 27. He is Ian Willoughby's guest in this week's edition of One on One.
Burning Bush, exploring the aftermath of the 1969 self-immolation of Jan Palach, recently swept the boards at the Czech Lion Film Awards. The Best Director prize went to Agnieszka Holland, while among those collecting a Lion for Best Film was producer Tomáš Hrubý. Though still students at Prague's FAMU Film School, Hrubý and his business partner have already achieved a string of successes with their company Nut Produkce. When we met, the conversation encompassed HBO's impact on the local TV market, why Czech documentaries are relatively strong, and the firm's latest projects. But I first asked Tomáš Hrubý about the genesis of Burning Bush.
Initially, it started as a bachelor screenplay by the writer Stepan Holík, and we thought it was a fabulous screenplay. The screenplay at the time when we read it was already offered to the Czech television, and they passed on it, or they never actually replied to it. There was a time when we met with Teresa Polachová, who's another producer from HBO. We, you know, had a discussion about different projects, and we offered them the screenplay. I had no idea that they would actually accept it. It was a totally blind shot, I would call it. But they did. They became immediately interested. And it didn't take long for us to offer the screenplay to Agnieszka, who seemed like the best possible option because of her experience with the work for American HBO and also because of her personal involvement in the story. So it just all came together.
Tell us about your first meeting with her and how you met her and how you, in a sense, sold the project to her.
First, we sent her the original script. It was actually shorter because the TV miniseries was written later, and that was one of the requests from the HBO that they needed a miniseries. So the original script was shorter. It was more like a feature film. So we sent her this original feature film, and she said that it was an interesting story, that she was interested, and she wanted to meet us. So we flew to... We took train to Poland. She was curious about how we got there and how was our flight, and we told her that we didn't fly, that we took a train. And she asked us why we didn't take, why we didn't fly. And we told her, frankly, that we didn't have money for the flight, you know. And I think she kind of remembered her old school days when she was attending FAMU and going from Warsaw to Prague every week by train. And it's a hell of a journey. It takes like 12 hours, and it's really, really, really long. And So I think that was kind of, it kind of reminded her of her young days. And I think she thought, okay, these guys are young, but they're honest and, you know.
Do you think her FAMU connection, she went to FAMU, I guess, in the late 60s. Do you think that helped you win her over to the project?
I think it definitely did. More than her attending the school, more important was her personal experience with the 68 and with the Russian or Soviet invasion at that time. She likes to say that it was a defining moment in her life, and that it pretty much changed the course of her life. And, you know, when she came to Prague, she immediately fell in love with the Czech Republic. She actually fell in love with the guy here.
She was a Slovak husband, no?
Exactly, yeah. And she had a baby while she was attending the school. And she said that she decided to stay here because Czechoslovakia seemed at that time like heaven, you know, in the Soviet bloc or in the Eastern bloc. But the 68 situation changed everything. Because she's very, I would say, very active person, she became part of the protests and she got jailed for a couple of months and she got expelled to Poland. So this whole experience changed her life and changed her attitude toward even the Polish regime. I think that was the reason why she wanted to come back and to kind of close this chapter on her life.
After you won the 11 Czech Lions for Burning Bush, did you perceive any change in attitude towards you from your professors or fellow students at the FAMU Film School?
I haven't noticed a big change in the attitude. I think that the teachers and also the dean, they're quite supportive. I really appreciate the experience of this, of going to FAMU. We wouldn't have done Burning Bush if we didn't go to FAMU. All of us met there, basically. And we got a lot of experience and training there. I would probably be supportive of more changes to the school, and I think the school needs to be a bit more modern, and it definitely needs to be more focused on TV, because TV is becoming such a huge phenomenon in the world, and FAMU has been ignoring the TV business for a very long time. Basically, television at FAMU has been considered something of a
second class.
Yes, of a lesser media and of a lesser work. And I think this needs to change.
Burning Bush was, of course, produced by HBO. Previously, the only game in town, so to speak, was Czech television. What do you think it means for TV producers, people working in TV, to have the emergence of HBO as a company producing domestic drama and TV?
You know, I think it's a blessing for the market that HBO came and that they started their own original production. The TV world has been changing for the past 11, 12, 13 years, ever since Sopranos or OZ came out in USA. There has not been a change in the Czech market. Czech television has been producing for the past 12 years very, very similar programs. You know, there was no invention in it. And because HBO came and introduced new original series that set up the bar much, much higher, also, the other television, especially Czech television, needs to react to it, and this reaction is very healthy for the TV market. Also, a new director and a new management of Czech television has been much more flexible and supportive.
Can you foresee a day or foresee a time when a company in the Czech Republic could produce some kind of series like Breaking Bad, you know, over several seasons, many episodes?
I'm not sure that it's possible to produce shows like Breaking Bad in the Czech Republic or even in Europe, because there's so many different things and things are more extreme in America. But it is possible to produce shows like The Killing, for instance, which is a Danish show, or The Returned, which is a French show. And these shows have been taken over and bought by American TV networks, and they've been remade in America. I think this is possible, and I'm hoping that the Czech filmmakers will achieve such a success.
Nut Produkce also is involved in the area of documentaries. You had, for example, Fortress by Lukáš Kokas and Show by Bohdan Blahovec. Many people say to me that Czech documentaries are in a healthier state than feature films. Would you agree with that claim or statement?
It's hard to compare those. I would say that the Czech documentaries have more success, more international success. So you can measure that, for instance. And I would also say that the Czech documentary filmmakers tend to be more modern thinking and tend to be more up to date. And I think this has a lot to do with the situation, with the differences between teachers at the documentary department at FAMU and at the directing department. Directing department at FAMU has been very, very old-fashioned, I would say. And the documentary department is much more modern, innovative, etc.
Tell us about the future projects you have on the way. I know you're making a film about Eva Omerova, the jazz singer. Also, you're making Gotland, which is based on a collection of journalism by a Polish journalist. I'm particularly interested in Gotland. What form will it take? Will it be like a documentary, or will it be some kind of drama?
The Gotland project is basically six small films by six documentary filmmakers, including Lukasz Kokesz and Klara Tasowska, whom you mentioned earlier. And these are small documentaries put together, and they're basically under the roof or the name of this locally famous book. We're also making a new TV series for HBO, and, you know, as we were mentioning, the Breaking Bad or the Killing examples, that's kind of the level that we're aspiring to. We're writing it with Stepan Hulik as well, and it's basically eight-episode story. It's kind of the same length, like, for instance, True Detective. It's about a village on the borders of Czech Republic and Poland. It actually focuses on the problem of coal mining in the Czech Republic and on breaking the limits, which is a great issue, political issue in the Czech Republic. It's going on and on in the media.
And would it be the kind of dream for you for this to be a success in Europe and then remade in the States, perhaps?
I'm not sure about the remade in the States part, but we would love, and that's our goal, to have an international appeal for the show. And, you know, we're trying to do this with every project that we have so that the project really travels.
You have very good English. It's a small market here in the Czech Republic. Have you ever considered seeking work abroad?
That's more difficult than, you know, having a good English is one part of it. Having your family, your wife, your friends here, that's quite another thing. It's a possibility and I'm open to it, but you pay a lot for traveling abroad, and I'm sure you know that.
Film producer Tomáš Hrubý was Ian Willoughby's guest in that edition of One on One, which brings us to the end of our English language program today. Just a reminder that all our programs are available online at radio.cz. You can also follow Radio Prague on Facebook and on Twitter. If you have any comments or questions for us, you can easily get in touch. Contact us at email at english@radio.cz or by post to Radio Prague, Vinohradská 12, 12099 Prague 2, the Czech Republic. But for now, from me, Jan Richter, and all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you very much for joining us, and goodbye.